prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution, where faith and reason collide. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff, and we're both from Revolution Church.
That's right. Revolution Church is based in Salina, Kansas. Mm-hmm. We have services at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. That's right. You can watch live online. A.M. Yeah. You can watch live online if you're not in the Salina area. You just go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and click on when and where.
There you go.
You'll find all the info there. Man, I'm still coming down off of that show we had last week. That was pretty awesome.
That was good.
Dr. Fuzz Rana from Reasons to Believe talking about Adam and Eve.
I still keep talking to people about that, and it's something that is always, nobody ever meets it with a meh.
Yeah.
You know, it's always,
like, really?
Yeah, it's always a very good conversation. So.
Molecular anthropology. Nevertheless, today, mm-hmm. we're moving on to something totally different. We usually like science and archaeology and reason and logic. We're talking about stuff like that because we want to show that Christianity is reasonable.
Well, today's show is kind of about reason and logic.
A lack of it.
Yeah, a lack of it.
We're going to be talking about, and I take no joy in this.
Right.
We're probably going to say some things that are funny, but don't get me wrong. I take no joy in saying when I find problems with teachers. I have a problem with false prophets and violent preachers, and today I'm probably going to make some people mad.
Probably. But the truth does that sometimes.
You know, we're showing a video in church this Sunday of a time when I was at a prayer meeting, and our vocalist, Levi is his name, or was his name back in the day, and he was getting ready to sing that week, but Tuesday and Wednesday his throat started hurting more and more and more, and you have to watch the video, but his throat had swelled up with these white pustules in the back of his throat. They were nasty. He could hardly talk. His voice was scratchy. It was super painful, and he was at prayer meeting with us, and I felt like God said, put your hands on his throat and pray. So I put my hands on his throat and I prayed, and within a minute His throat was completely healed.
Mm-hmm.
Completely healed. He had no pain. The white things were gone. He was able to get up and sing and lead worship. Right. I mean, that was, I was a miracle. We laid hands and we prayed and God answered.
Right. I was witness to that actually. So.
Oh, you were there.
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
You were there. Okay. So you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Awesome. And there was another time I was at McDonald's and I was with a buddy of mine and I felt like God said, you know what? There's that guy in the corner. You need to tell him you can't walk away from God.
Right.
And I was like, what? I'm not saying that. And my buddy was like, what's going on, dude? Why are you looking all weird? And I told him, he said, you got to tell the guy. And I was like, I'm not saying anything to the guy, right? And
okay, Jonah.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to say this. This is weird, right? But I felt like God was telling me to say this.
Right.
And I said, okay, God, I'll make you a deal. If this guy walks to me, I'll say it. But if he just leaves, I'm not going to say it.
Uh-huh.
See, I was cheating because I'd seen him come in the door that was far away from me.
Right.
And so he wouldn't have to even walk by me to go outside.
Right. But God's not dumb.
So he picks up his tray and he starts to go to dump it. He empties it and he walks outside or opens the door to walk outside. And I'm like, yes! And then he stops. And he turns around and he walks right towards me.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what? And I realize he's got a pop in his hand and he's going for a refill, which was right behind me. I was like, okay, God, here we go. He walked no less than 4 inches from me and I said, hey. He stopped and looked at me and said, hey. I said, man, I gotta tell you, I feel like God wants me to say this to you. You can't walk away from God. And his eyes got big, his mouth dropped open, and I said, I don't know, does that mean anything to you? And he said, yes, it does. And from my memory, which could be wrong, but my memory recalls him just turning around and walking out without getting a drink.
Right.
Just leaving. So I believe that God can speak to people.
Oh,
I believe
amen.
In prophets. I believe in miracles.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a problem, and I don't have a problem with charismatic Christians.
Right.
I don't have a problem with miracles. I do have a problem with false preachers, violent preachers, and false prophets. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 24 gives us some really good information that we're going to need to pay attention to today.
All right. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those people who have the fits of rage, the drunkenness, the like.
But The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Okay, what we're going to talk about today, I want you to compare it to the scripture we just read.
Okay.
I'm going to make comments, but ultimately, I want listeners to take what we just read from Galatians, because that is the word of God. Okay, whether you're a Christian or you're a skeptic, right? Galatians is what Christians say is the word of God.
Right.
And so if there's someone who claims to be a preacher, we have to compare what they're doing
right
to the real word of God. And if it's not matching up with the real word of God, they're fakes.
Amen.
And you cannot either discount Christianity because of them, or you cannot believe in Christianity because of them. They're fakes.
Right.
And so this last week, a guy named Todd Bentley was in Wichita near us. And we had some people from our church go just to check it out, see what it was like. I don't actually believe in him, that we've taught enough about guys like him here. Mm-hmm. But it just got me going. He was so close and there were so many people there. It just made me mad. I want you to listen to one story that Todd Bentley has shared.
I said, God, I've prayed for like 100 crippled people, not one. He said, that's because I want you to grab that lady's crippled legs and bang them up and down on the platform like a baseball bat.
What?
I walked up and I grabbed her legs and I started going, be healed! Be healed! I started banging them up and down on the platform. She got healed.
What?
Bang a lady's crippled legs on the floor like a baseball bat. He says, God said, not, you know, I thought it was a good idea, not anything. God said, I want you to grab that lady's crippled legs and bang them up and down like a baseball bat.
That's a little strange and wrong.
1 Timothy 3 says, now the overseer is to be above reproach, not violent, but gentle.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but this is not following the words of God. Titus 1, 7 and 9, it says this.
Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent.
Not violent.
Not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable. One who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined.
Does it sound like he has these qualities? Here's another quote.
And something came over me, and instead of punching him, I grabbed him by the neck and started choking him. And I said, come out of him, devil!
What?
Is that how we drive demons out?
No.
You choke people until the demon comes out?
No.
By contrast, Luke 4 gives us a picture of demon possession and how a demon acts and how a demon comes out.
In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.
Okay, so the demon was screaming.
Mm-hmm. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all, and came out without injuring him.
Okay, who does the screaming?
The demon.
And who says, be quiet?
Jesus.
And who does the violence?
The demon.
He threw the person down. Mm-hmm. And who frees people from violence?
Jesus.
Who chokes people?
This other guy?
You see, the fruit of the Spirit is peace and gentleness. Right. That's what we read in Galatians 5.
Amen.
The acts of the sinful nature are violence. That's what the word of God says. And you have Todd Bentley.
And God wasn't moving. I said, God, I need you to move right now. He said, two things and I'll move. He said, you see that guy over there? Standing at the edge of the platform, he wants to be healed. I said, I see him, God. He said, I want you to charge all the way like a rhinoceros across the platform and clothesline the man as you run.
The Galatians 5, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Mm-hmm. Fits of rage and the like, it says.
That's kind of nuts.
The fruit of the Spirit is peace and gentleness, love and self-control. Now, which of those categories do you think charging like rhinoceros and clotheslining a man?
I'm sorry to laugh.
Mostly. It's ridiculous. Right.
Well, you know, you started that line of questioning. I'm like, isn't that obvious, Jeff?
What does I mean, if I said, you know what, I think I'm going to charge like a rhino and clothesline people, would you say, you know, that sounds like the Holy Spirit, love, peace, and joy, or that sounds like fits of rage and violence.
Right. I would say it sounds like fits of rage and violence, but I'll be standing behind you when I say it.
Right. Here's more.
I was supposed to get tubes put in my ears because the fluid wouldn't drain, and then when you were praying over ears, like my ears got really heated up and started.
Here, they lose control here.
It's almost like there's nothing edifying there at all.
Well,
you know,
I understand joy. Mm-hmm. That's a fruit of the spirit. But Galatians 5 says drunkenness is of the flesh and that self-control is of the spirit. Self-control. If right. you are so overwhelmed with laughter, capricious laughter, mm-hmm. in a situation where they've been doing violence even,
right.
I don't see how you could claim that this is the spirit of God. Here's perhaps the one that makes me the most angry.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, God, why is not the power of God moving? He said, because you haven't kicked that woman in the face.
Yeah.
And there's this older lady worshiping right in front of the platform. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The gift of faith came on me. He said, kick her in the face with your biker boot. I inched closer and I went like this. Bam! And just as my boot made contact with her nose, she fell under the power of God.
No, more likely she was out cold.
You think?
The thing that bugs me about that is that, okay, first of all, he said that was an elderly lady. You know, and to me, it's like, I can understand the laughter, kind of, you know.
We'll give a wash on that one.
But this one kind of takes it back into the realm of ridiculousness where it says, you know, God would not call somebody to kick somebody else in the face.
No, 1 Timothy 3. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, not violent.
But gentle. It was a gentle kick with a biker boot.
I'm sorry. If there is a leader in your church who is kicking people in their face, you kick them out.
Right.
You do not say, yes, kick older ladies in the face. Now come preach at my church too.
I agree.
That is not what we do, Christians.
Thinking, God, why is not the power of God moving? He said, because you haven't kicked that woman in the face.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. The Holy Spirit does not say that.
He said, kick her in the face.
Nope.
No, he did not say kick her.
With your biker boot.
No, that is a lie. Listen, interestingly enough, he actually knew this was of the devil and not of the Holy Spirit.
He knew it.
He knew it. Listen.
Said, you see that woman down there? Said, I see her, God. He said, kick her in the face. I said, God, that's the devil. That's got to be the devil.
Hmm. He knew.
Right. But he did it anyway.
Then you get ones like this.
But woman, I said, God, I want revival. And he said these words to me. Leg drop the pastor.
What?
Yes. Leg drop the pastor. That is God's instruction to Todd Bentley was leg drop the pastor.
Right. Well, the thing to me, it just sounds like this is a novelty act. It draws people in because of the... Well,
he's been going for years.
It draws people in because it's a novelty act.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets money off of it, obviously.
This is Todd Bentley. He is a false teacher.
Right.
Okay, he's a false teacher. The Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness.
That right now she's going to be healed by the power of God and receive a brand new hip. Do it, Jesus. A brand new hip. Bam, 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 bam.
Enough of this.
Bam, bam.
Stop it.
That's what I say.
Stop. This is not gentleness from the Holy Spirit.
No, it is not.
We're going to be right back. We're going to do a Bible contradiction and a listener question today. But we got more of this stuff coming back. There's other people we're going to talk about today. Because we cannot allow the name of Jesus Christ to come into disrepute without being answered like this.
Right.
These are charlatans. These are not preachers. These are charlatans.
It's crazy is what it is.
Now, I can't ascribe their motives. I can't talk about their motives. Right. I don't know their motives. Maybe they genuinely want to follow Jesus, but they are way, way off track.
Amen.
Okay, this is not from the Holy Spirit. You don't kick people in the face with a biker boot. You don't run at someone like a rhino and clothesline them. And then blame it on the Holy Spirit.
Right.
All right, we're going to come right back. We've got more we're going to talk about two more preachers, as well as a Bible contradiction and a listener question. TruthRevolution.tv. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Camels.
Camels?
The TV show Big Bang Theory, as well as National Geographic and others, have suggested that the Bible is wrong about camels.
The claim is that archaeological evidence demonstrates that camels appeared in the Middle East much later than Abraham's time.
Of course, the Bible describes Abraham as having camels.
So skeptics take this as evidence against the Bible's reliability.
Nat Geo even said this supports earlier studies that have challenged the Bible's veracity as a historical document.
But is this the case? First off, we must note that archaeological studies cannot prove a negative. They cannot show that camels weren't present in Abraham's time.
Furthermore, Abraham was nomadic. Even if it was true that camels weren't widespread during those periods, it is entirely plausible that Abraham owned some.
If Abraham owned a few thousand camels that he picked up during his travels, there would likely be no archaeological evidence.
And the Bible never claims that camels were widespread in the region.
Give the Bible some credit.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
All right, we're talking about false teachers, violent teachers.
Yeah, let me make something absolutely clear, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We are brethren in Christ.
Yes.
And this is particularly offensive to us because we are pacifists, for one.
Yeah. Okay. Can I ask you possibly to rephrase that?
Okay.
It's not that it's offensive to us.
Right.
It's offensive. We particularly find this directly against the teachings of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
It doesn't offend me as much as it makes me mad that someone would use the name of Jesus to do something that Jesus said not to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hit people in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You don't.
Well, and the thing is, it may be all that, but it seems kind of just really ridiculous because of what we've been taught. You know, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, exactly. You should go listen to one of our shows about pacifism.
Amen.
I called out this Chinese gentleman, and all of a sudden I went running down the aisle, and I hit this guy so hard, it drove him back several feet. He hit the ground, and his tooth popped right out of his mouth.
Mm. Todd Bentley is not preaching from Jesus or about Jesus. Right. These are lies. And listen to me, this is serious. You Christians who buy this stuff or promote it, some of you are honestly deceived. You've been lied to and you bought it. And my heart aches for you. Please open your heart to the real Jesus who really healed lepers. Mm-hmm. And who can really heal you from your sin. Who won't call someone to punch you in the face to heal you.
Right.
For you other Christians who aren't merely deceived, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Either be ashamed for not knowing the Word of God well enough to see a liar, or be ashamed for asking a flesh for asking for a flesh ministry because that's what you want. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of evangelists. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." Paul is telling Timothy right there, you got good, important work to do, but there's people who are gonna gather teachers around mm-hmm. themselves. And it's not just the teachers that are bad. Paul's saying it's these people. They're gathering teachers around to say what they want these teachers to hear.
Right. And if we were truly meant to be punching people in the face, I'm sure Jesus would have been documented doing the same. And that hasn't happened.
No, that has not happened. Okay. And it's not just Todd Bentley. Many of you know about a guy named Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. Benny Hinn isn't as violent, but he has made false prophecies.
The Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Oh, my. Some will try to kill him and they will not succeed. But there will come a change in his physical health and he will not stay in power. And Cuba will be visited of God.
Well, pretty much everything he said there was wrong.
Yeah.
Except for that some people tried to kill him and they will not succeed. But yeah. He was still alive. He lived through the 90s. He's probably even still alive today.
Still alive today in ill health, but he's still alive.
So he is alive.
Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s.
Sorry.
Well, 20 years later.
Not
still going.
True. The Spirit told him that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. The Spirit told him that. Deuteronomy 18 tells us, it's from the Old Testament, so I don't want you to think that I'm saying this is exactly how it is now,
right.
But it should give us a concept of the seriousness of claiming to speak as a prophet.
Okay, Deuteronomy 18 says, "A prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know that when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet claims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed."
That's right. And back then, they had to kill people who made a false prophecy.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting we do that, obviously.
No.
Jesus had called us to peace, unlike Todd Bentley would suggest. But so we aren't going to kill anybody. We would simply ask him to repent. Repent of this, Benny Hinn. Repent of this, Todd Bentley. All right, we're going to do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction brought to you today by the fine people over at thethinkingatheist.com.
All right.
Did Michael have five children or not? Okay. 2 Samuel 6:23, "Therefore Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death."
Okay.
Sons equals zero.
Zero. Yeah.
2 Samuel 21:8, "The five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul." What? There's five sons?
Whoa, five. Was it five or zero?
Yeah, and that's in the same book, 2 Samuel.
Okay, I'll admit, we're going to use a few letters from our correct acronym.
Okay.
The E stands for early manuscript, and there is some early manuscript discrepancy here.
Okay.
The NIV doesn't translate this Michal. It translates one of these Marab because there's two Hebrew manuscripts that have a different name there.
I see.
So that's a possibility. It was a different person. I think it's unlikely because this Michal is claimed to have been married to Adriel the Maholathite in both of these verses.
Right.
And so it's probably the same person, right? So what we want to do is we want to use the C for credibility. This is the same book it's quoting from.
Right.
2 Samuel's, both of these. So it's the same book, the same author. It's unlikely that the same author would make such a big mistake in the same writing.
Right.
She had five kids. She had zero kids. So you have to say, all right, well, what's he getting after? What was he trying to say? Well, we go to the E for early meaning. And more likely, in 2 Samuel 21, where it says there were five sons, it sounds different in Hebrew than in English. We read, "No child unto the day of her death," as if she never had any children ever.
Right.
But some translations just say she remained childless. But it's possible, if you look at the Hebrew, it actually means no child on the day of her death, or from then to the day of her death.
Okay.
Which would make perfect sense. Her children were killed. She didn't have children on the day of her death. There was no child after that day.
Right.
Coincidentally, the Bible doesn't record her having any children after that. She had children with this other guy. She got married to King David, and then she didn't have any children.
She remained childless from
that moment on. She remained childless, and that's the early meaning and the C for credibility. So that's the answer for the Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
That actually was a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Was it really?
Well, I had to look it up.
And I found that when I'm like, ooh, this might be a good one.
Well, I looked it up and was like, wow, that's a pretty good one. Yeah. This can be harder to explain this. I think it was actually easier than I thought it would be. All right, that's the Bible contradiction. Now, just so you know, Benny Hinn also gave other predictions other than the ones we already shared.
Now, hear this. I'm prophesying this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about to appear physically in some churches and some meetings and to many of his people for one reason, to tell you he's about to show up.
Okay.
When was that?
Yeah, I would like any evidence of this at all.
Right.
If you're a listener and you think we're crazy and wrong, just give me any evidence of this at all. And I don't want the picture of like a shadowy figure on a grape
right. That
someone stuck to a wall.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he said Jesus was going to show up bodily. Is there any evidence of that at all?
Right.
Jeremiah 29. Listen to what this prophet Jeremiah said to people in Babylon in captivity thousands of years ago.
Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord.
Okay, we are going to claim that still holds true.
Oh, I would say right. So, yeah.
That still holds true. Don't listen to them if they're prophesying lies. We're going to tackle a little bit with Joel Osteen.
Oh,
okay. We're going to do this online only. So if you want to hear this, you got to go to truthrevolution.tv or get our podcast. Joel Osteen, we got three quotes from him, and it's very, very tricky. This one's very interesting because what he does is he says a lot of positive truth, but he slips inside of it a little biblical language, and he distorts what God is actually saying.
Right.
He misquotes the Bible, and I'm going to show you what's going on here. You got to get to truthrevolution.tv to listen to this. It's not that we don't like these people.
Right.
In fact, I love them. I want them to repent and come back to the proper way to interpret the Bible, the proper way to treat themselves of their prophets, the proper way to act as preachers.
Right.
You don't hit people. You don't prophesy falsely. You don't misuse the word of God. And I'm asking you, friends, who hear this, don't be like the people who are talked about in 2 Timothy, who gather around teachers to hear what your itching ears want to hear. Listen to the truth. Say what is real and what is right and what is true. What does the word of God really say? Not what do I get excited about, what's emotional, what's popular.
Right.
That's what we're interested in, truth revolution.
And truth is more fulfilling, honestly, in the long run.
Well, because it's absolute. I know many people, and maybe this is why I'm so passionate about it. I know many people who I was growing up with who follow guys like Benny Hinn
right. And
Todd Bentley and Joel Osteen, and so many of them, almost down to the T, have walked away from their faith after decades. I know some other people who came from traditions and personalities that were way too stoic, almost to the point of negating their emotions and just making Christianity an intellectual thing. And those people are still following Jesus.
Right.
I don't think that's right to make it non-emotional. We are, our denomination, we've included pietism. Like, we want emotion. We want to feel the presence of God.
Right.
But you cannot feel God, use your emotions at the expense of your brain and the word of God. You have to have both of these things.
Right. That's the whole thing, man. A lot of people think, and the reason for our show is a lot of people think that you can't have a brain and be a Christian.
That's right.
But we're telling you that's not true.
So if you are a skeptic and you've seen guys like Todd Bentley and Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen, you thought, man, those guys are charlatans. See, that's why I'm not a Christian, because those guys are so slimy. And you know what? I say, I stand shoulder to shoulder with you on that.
Right.
All right? It's slimy. It's not right. The Bible doesn't agree with what they're doing. So neither do I.
Right.
All right. We want to interpret the Bible correctly, and that's where we get our authority from. All right. Go to truthrevolution.tv. We're going to talk a little bit more there about Joel Osteen and how he distorts the real word of God and how that happens, even though what he says sounds great. And he actually has some truth. Now, you got to get to truthrevolution.tv. We're also going to try to answer a listener question. We've been putting this one off for a couple weeks. So we're gonna do it online only.
There you go.
And come on out. Check out Revolution Church. Thanks, guys.
Truth Revolution.
We're online talking about... charlatans and... And it's just crazy some of the things that people do, you know what I mean? In the name of God.
Oh, yeah.
And let's be honest, these aren't the first people in the history of Christendom to hijack the name of God and do just absolutely crazy things.
Oh, no. With it. They're not the first, but. Right.
And they won't be the last.
They make my eyes roll enough to almost cause earthquakes in my office.
Thinking, God, why is not the power of God moving? He said, because you haven't kicked that woman in the face.
It's just ridiculous that anyone can say this, and then people would sit there and go, oh, wow.
My big question is, how can you actually go to his show, because that's really what it is, go to his show and actually walk down to the front next to the stage and say, oh, this is going to be great.
You know? I hope he doesn't run at me like a rhino and clothesline me. If he doesn't do that, and he doesn't punch me in the face, and if he doesn't kick me in the face, and if he doesn't knock me out... Right. This could be good.
This could be good. I got except a front row
fact,
seat.
Except for the fact he's got no verified healings.
Right.
This could be good.
Well, he needs to go on tour with WWE.
Yeah, right.
You know? I mean, that's a perfect venue for it.
No, he's a bad wrestler. He's a bad prophet. He's a bad teacher. But he makes a ton of money.
He does.
And that, but, I don't want to misconstrue what I just said. I'm not saying that he's doing it for the money. I don't know why he's doing it. Okay, I don't.
Well, the thing is that he's making a lot of money because a lot of people are buying into it.
That was my point. You
know, so.
But tons of people buy it, even though it's not a good prophet. Right. It's not a good wrestler, whatever. All right, we're going to talk a little about... I said it.
Yeah, he
I
might be a good wrestler. You never know.
Well, apparently, he likes to leg drop people. All right, we're going to do a little bit of Joel Osteen. First, I want you to hear this. He says something that in... essence is pretty good.
They focus on the possibilities, not the problems. They're grateful for what they have, not complaining about what they don't have. Mm-hmm. Positive people know that God is in control.
Amen.
And that nothing happens without his permission.
Okay.
Right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I can go with that.
Right.
Right. It makes me a little happy to hear that. Like, okay.
Well, it's all true.
It is true. And like, we need to be, Christians probably need to be more positive.
Amen.
There's too many poo-pooers and negative people out there. You know, we're doing this one show where we're kind of saying, look, here's some negative stuff that people need to stop.
Right.
This is like the one we've done in like 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe we've done one other. It's not the preponderance of what we do. I think we do need more positive stuff.
Amen.
Let's lift people up. Let's give mercy. Let's be known for that. Then he continues to talk and he gets a little
sideways.
Not awful yet, but yeah, a little sideways.
And I've learned if you don't get happy where you are, you probably will never get to where you want to be.
Okay. All right. Now, in some sense, that's true.
Right.
Okay, like you have to be happy where you are, right? The Apostle Paul talks about this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We want to be content. We want to be happy in the circumstance God has brought us to.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to what he says at the end of it. It's kind of where it pinches a little.
Okay.
And I've learned if you don't get happy where you are, you probably will never get to where you want to be.
Okay. The reason we want to be happy and content so that we can get where we want to be.
Oh.
Now, if you listen to his whole sermon, I'm not going to play his whole sermon here. It's like half an hour long.
Uh-huh.
But if you listen to the whole sermon, where we want to be is with worldly wealth and prosperity, health. Okay, now don't get me wrong. You're looking at me like...
That's where we want to be?
That's where... Believe me, I'd rather be wealthy than not. I'd rather be healthy than not.
Yeah.
But what he is saying is your positive attitude determines your future wealth and health. But that is not a Christian message.
It is not.
It is not. Now, where he goes after this is where it gets really bad. Like I said, that wasn't awful.
Right.
But this is where it goes down.
And enjoy the day no matter what comes your way. You have to decide ahead of time. That's what it says in Colossians 3. Set your mind on higher things and keep it set. The higher things are positive things.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a little sideways. He does. He's good.
Oh, he's good. You know? Oh, he's good.
But the higher things are not necessarily the positive things that maybe he's starting to put forward.
Exactly. Thank you very much. You know, that's the first part.
Peace, patience, love, kindness.
He says, set your minds on higher, or he says, Colossians 3 says, set your minds on higher things and keep it set. And then he goes, well, those higher things are the positive things, those things that we want, like the health and the wealth.
Right.
The Bible is not saying set your mind on health and wealth.
Right.
In fact, he even misquoted Colossians 2. It doesn't say set your minds on higher things and keep it set. It says set your minds on things above, not on earthly things.
Right.
Yeah. Whoa.
We
hello.
Are, right.
That's different. That's
where he veers off, because we're to keep our mind on godly things.
Not earthly things.
Right.
Now, the Amplified Bible, which he was kind of quoting, it's a version that says this, it's Colossians 3:2, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth.
Right.
Okay, so this is the concept in Colossians. We do not want earthly things. We want heavenly things from God.
Right.
Heavenly things are like, well, it continues to tell us if you read chapter 3. It says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Amen.
Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed,
right,
which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. You see, Colossians 3 is not about wealth or promotions.
Right.
It's about the opposite of that. It's about wealth and health and the worldly things and the greedy things. That's what you used to be about, but you are dead.
Right.
You are dead to that. The world has nothing for us. Now, think about it. Think about it. This is what Colossians 3 was written to tell us. The worldly things, the earthly things are dead. We are dead to that. Set your mind on godly things, the way Jesus would want us to live, not on the earthly things, not on the worldly things. And now listen to Joel's quote again. And just think about how far off this is.
And enjoy the day no matter what comes your way. You have to decide ahead of time. That's what it says in Colossians 3. Set your mind on higher things and keep it set. The higher things are positive things.
I mean, he just rips that out of context,
right,
misquotes it, misinterprets it.
And you know what? Don't get us wrong. Here's the thing. If you set your mind on godly things and you happen to have good health and God gives you wealth, because if you're setting your mind on those things that are of God, what are you going to use that wealth for? You're going to use it for God's glory.
Sure. I won't speak worse of wealth than Jesus did, which said it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go to heaven.
True. But a rich man that gives his stuff away, and he was always saying stuff like that, go sell what you have.
Oh, yeah.
Give it to the poor.
Yeah. Paul says this. The rich people should weep more and wail, but they should use their wealth to do good things. Okay, I'm not saying wealth is evil,
right?
But I'm saying biblically, if you want to pick one or the other, evil or good, it's much closer to evil than it is to good.
Right. Amen.
Now, Job was wealthy. Abraham was wealthy. There are wealthy people in the Bible, and who were godly people. So we're not going to say wealth is evil. It's definitely not evil. But it's not what Colossians 3 is telling us to pursue. Right. Listen, this is Joel's goal.
You were created to be the head and not the tail, to lend and not borrow, to reign in life as a king. That means you have royalty in your blood. Winning is in your DNA. Now get rid of a negative mentality and set your mind for victory. Set your mind for increase. Set your mind for good breaks. Start expecting your plans to work out. Expect people to be good to you. Expect to have a productive day.
In this life, you will have tribulation. That's what Jesus told us.
Well, right. And it's not like we want people to sit down and go, okay, my life's going to stink.
Right.
That's not what we're saying.
But here's the thing. You set your mind on the things that are above, and that is where you get your goodness and you get your good things coming your way type thing.
Well, right. Colossians 3 says set your mind on things above. Mm-hmm. He says, what are those things above? It's you were created to lend and not borrow.
Right.
But that's not the things that are above. Mm-mm. That's not what Colossians 3 is talking about. This is all from one sermon, by the way. I'm not cherry picking sermons to make it sound. This is one sermon of his.
Right.
Okay. And he just, he pulls these things way out of there. Colossians 3, here's the actual conclusion of setting your mind on heaven and not earthly things. Okay. It's not realizing your dreams or becoming wealthy. The Bible tells us what the actualization of setting your mind on heaven will be like. It's in Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. For over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
No matter our earthly circumstances. You see, Joel's right. We need to have an attitude adjustment. Mm-hmm. We need to be thinking positively. That's fine. That's a decent thing. But he attaches to it God's word as a means for worldly prosperity, and that's wrong. God's word in Colossians 3 doesn't say, set your minds on higher things and keep it set, and those higher things are lending and not borrowing.
Right.
It says, set your mind on things above, which are humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, letting people free.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go as far to say as...
Sorry to interrupt, but it's far from lending, not borrowing.
Right.
It's forgiving someone who owes you.
Right. That's what I'm saying. When you...
Oh, okay.
We are not to lend, you know. We are to give.
Jeez.
I mean, the Bible even tells us, when we give, do not expect it back.
Right. No. And I mean, it doesn't say we can't lend.
Right.
In fact, Jesus did give that advice at some point, you know, lend to the one who asks. But but the point wasn't you should become lenders.
Right.
The point was you should be a giver.
Right.
Not. And Joel's point is the opposite. It is you should be wealthy to the point of not having to borrow what people need to borrow from you.
Yes. Our wealth should not be in this kingdom on the earth. Our wealth should be in the kingdom to come.
That's right.
And our prosperity should not be here on earth, although it's okay to have prosperity.
Yeah.
What is in your heart? Okay. And what do you use that prosperity for? But when you set your mind on the things of God, that prosperity comes in the next life. That's what you need to be putting your mind on.
Thank you. And with that, we're going to go to a listener question.
Okay.
I got a question.
Hey, poor guy. We've been waiting on this question for a couple of weeks now. We're finally getting to it. Hope you're listening. Okay. He says, I think your cracked acronym is a great tool for interpreting the Bible.
Thanks.
Thank you, he says.
Oh, thank you.
But isn't it true that those same tools can be used to justify things in the Bible like homosexuality or even more modern versions of slavery?
Okay, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
Tools can be good tools and still used improperly.
Right.
That would be my answer.
I used a crescent wrench the other day as a hammer.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you could use a hammer to hit someone in the head.
There you go.
All right. You could teach someone how to dig into a mountain, how to coal mine.
Yeah.
And they could take those tools and that knowledge and go to a mountain with no coal.
Right.
It doesn't matter how well they use those tools, they'll get nothing good from it. They're just going to be dirt.
Right.
All right. It's not going to be worth anything. And the example is, you could take this cracked acronym we have, use this perfectly good tool, use it in the right way, but go to the wrong mountain or use it in an improper way, and you're not going to find any gold.
Right.
You're going to get dirt. All right. Example, like the C for context. I mean, there's geographic and social context, right? Jesus said the mustard seed was the smallest, even though it's technically not the smallest, right? But in their geographic area, in their society, it was the smallest, okay? That's how we read that.
Mm-hmm.
But you could take that tool and say, Jesus said not to murder. But in their culture, it wasn't really considered murder to kill a non-Jew, so that might be okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right, see, that's a misuse of a perfectly good tool.
Wait a minute.
And that's why we have to be careful how we use these tools, right? It's not like you just take this tool and then you find something in scripture and you do whatever you want with it.
Right.
You have to use the tool in the right way, and you have to use it, quote, on the right mountain.
Right, and here's the thing. We use the entire Bible as a lens, per se.
Sure.
You know, for what we're seeking out in the Bible.
Yeah.
If what we're looking at in the Bible does not, our interpretation of that little deal does not line up with what it says in the rest of the Bible, then we need to take a look at it again.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And in fact, our knit together portion, I also use that to speak about our Christocentric view. where it's knit together from Genesis to Revelation, but also we interpret the rest of the Bible through the eyes of Jesus.
Right, amen.
If this isn't something Jesus would do or would have us do, then we can't interpret it that way either. And so to say that, well, Jesus said not to murder, but in their culture, you know, using our C for context, in their culture context, it wasn't murder to kill a non-Jew, so that's okay. No, you can't say that because that's not a Christological view, right? Jesus would not. Right.
Well, Jesus did a lot of this kind of stuff. You've heard it said to not do this, but this is what I tell you to say,
sure.
Which is more extreme,
yeah,
you know, than what was originally said. So Jesus always opted for love and peace and patience.
Yeah, that's right. So it's perfectly possible to use a good tool the wrong way.
Amen.
All right, thanks for listening today, guys. I want to leave you with this thought from 2 Timothy. For the time will come when people will not put up sound doctrine. To suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be that person.
Amen.
Be the person who says, I want to hear the truth, even if I don't like it.
Right. The truth stirs things up sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? But when the dust settles, you'll be better for it.
That's right. All right. TruthRevolution.tv. Get on out there. We got Truth Shots Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We got another good show coming next week. It's going to be a rehash. It's going to be good.
Right.
It's going to be good. Now, we also got a special guest, Greg Kuchel, coming up in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be really good stuff. You don't want to miss this. So I'm just excited. We got a lot of good stuff going on. Get out to the website. Re-listen to some of those popular shows like the one on DNA last week. Mm. If you missed it, you got to go get it. TruthRevolution.tv. God bless.